It's been a week of intense engagement, bilaterals, knowledge sessions. This is the World Economic Forum, Davos 2023. And I've got Ian Williamson, the CEO of Old Mutual Group, with me, who's going to summarize the week for us and capture the key themes as he sees them. Ian, thank you very much for your time. And let's start with Africa, because Africa has been on the agenda. Specifically, deep diving into the fact that this could be Africa's century.
Yeah, that was the topic of one of the sessions today, the Africa century. And, you know, I think the team, and this goes across the continent, has done quite a good job, together with some very friendly partners, to elevate Africa's profile at the forum this year. And, you know, I think it feels like we're on the cusp of moving from talking to doing, which is a good thing. So there's been a lot around the African Free Trade Continental Trade Agreement. And up to now, I think the steps that have been taken by the Secretariat and by our political leaders have been to put the foundations in place to allow that to happen. But now the conversation is shifting to, okay, what are the concrete steps we're going to take in the next 12 months that will progress this and get to concrete benefits for particular sectors, so say pharmaceuticals. And I think we need some of those quick wins to really get a bit more energy behind that system. So it's been fantastic.
I want to talk specifically about the Africa Collective, which you are, as Old Mutual, collaborating with the African Continental Free Trade Area Secretariat. And Wamkele Mene was, in fact, a speaker at a session where you engaged. Do you believe that the Africa Collective is going to be different to any other initiative?
Well, the collective's role for me is more about elevating Africa issues onto the agenda, whether that's the free trade agreement or anything else. And it's really around reminding people constantly, because as Patrice Motsepe said at breakfast the other day, if you don't remind people, they forget Africa exists as a starting point. And, you know, reminding people, we've got a 1.4 billion people market. It is the market of the future. We're going to have 60% of the global population under the age of 35. We're going to have the biggest working population in the world in 20 years' time. That's also the biggest group of consumers in the world in 20 years' time. So if there's global companies out there looking for growth, they would be silly to ignore the African market opportunity. They also need to be sensible about keeping their eyes open about, you know, what the risks are as we get there. But there is a big prize with some risk to be taken in the short term to get there.
And then also, I suppose, the just transition is an important discussion, because we have an abundance of renewable energy. We just got to collaborate to make it work effectively and create regional power pools in the renewable energy space.
Yeah, so that has been the other, in fact, probably a bigger topic this week than Africa. But what has been encouraging is there's an open acknowledgement, I think, amongst the collective voices that the North versus South is a real issue, and that to some extent the North needs to help to support the South to make the transition, and the South can't do it on its own. And also an acknowledgement that the South is likely to possibly have emissions go up before they go down, and is likely to have a different trajectory in terms of the just transition of getting to a suitable end position that contributes to a global outcome. So I think, again, pragmatism is starting to come into the picture, and an acknowledgement that we can't be too, not to mix up the metaphors too much, but we can't be too black and white about the brown versus the green. We need to understand what the transition pathways are from brown to green, and actually support certain industries and companies that are engaged in what are currently regarded as non-desirable activities, and to help them to make a transition to be a more desirable outcome.
The global macroeconomic environment, and we're in a tough world. We've got inflation, which is incredibly high in almost every country that has engaged, certainly here at the World Economic Forum. Interest rates are going up. The cost of living crisis has escalated and is the number one short-term risk in terms of the World Economic Forum Global Risks Report 2023, and climate change, the longer-term risk. But what is your view on the macroeconomic environment? Can we take some comfort? Earlier, I chatted to one of our other business leaders, and 24 months, potentially still a tough emerging market environment.
Yeah, look, I think that's true. So I would say two or three things on that particular topic. One is the view is more positive than I thought it would be when I arrived. So, one of the useful things about being here is you get perspective from our typical South African view of the world. We're not alone. Everyone's got problems, and actually some of them are quite severe. Having said that, the consensus view around the US seems to be that they are likely to be more resilient relative to, for example, Europe, and that the US may escape recession, and if there is a recession, it's likely to be shallow. Globally, I think there's the consensus view seems to be, as you say, it's going to be tough for 12 to 24 months. It's going to be tough. And in that regard, I take some heart from the fact that South Africa's interest rate cycle is almost definitely near the top. We might have peaked. We're probably near the top. Our inflation is turning already. And therefore, in a sense, we've taken some of the pain that the rest of the world is still going to go through. So I think locally we may surprise ourselves a little bit, I think, in terms of being possibly more resilient than some of the global, more developed economies, which have still got some to go.
Team South Africa, that's a theme we need to talk about. How have you felt the team has been received at the World Economic Forum? What do people say when you say, I'm Ian Williamson, the CEO of Old Mutual Group, we're headquartered in Johannesburg, South Africa? How do they respond?
I think it's one of these perspective items. I think most people are positive.
Most people say, do you live in Cape Town, the most beautiful city in the world?
Well, yes, no, and most are positive because actually they talk about other things. They want to know, the people who visited there have wonderful memories of the climate and the great landscape and the wildlife, and there was a wonderful dinner here last night where we took over the convention center and fed people South African food and played South African music, and there's a lot of that we as business people we think about the economy and the numbers and all the tough stuff, but actually there is a lot of goodwill and there's a lot of positivity. Having said that, anyone who has a vested interest in either investing in the country or progressing business in the country, there are two things on their mind: energy and Transnet infrastructure. And there isn't anything else on their mind. It's those two things. Everyone wants to know, can we solve it? How quickly can we solve it? Everyone acknowledges it's a problem. There's a lot of willingness from the global companies that are present and who rely on that infrastructure to help. There's a lot of willingness to help, and there's a lot of willingness to invest in the helping. What we need is very clear guardrails about how, when, and what, and ideally very, very quickly. So, one of the stats I've used to illustrate this point is collectively, as country South Africa, since the PPP started for energy, I think we've commissioned approximately, and I'm going to get my number a little bit wrong, but it's about 5 gigawatts of alternative energy capacity. We need another 50. So it's a 10x that we need relative to what's been put together so far. And we can't do that by moving slowly. We need to speed up. The funding is there, the willingness is there. We just need the ability to execute it at speed to bring the resource to bear.
So Ian, thank you very much for summarizing our week here at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Some key themes really standing out. Climate change has certainly been at the top of the agenda. Definitely the macroeconomic environment has been debated long and hard. Inflationary pressure, interest rates are still rising, but as you heard from Ian, in South Africa, we may be almost at the top of that interest rate hiking cycle. And then, of course, Africa has been front and center, with the African Continental Free Trade Area being an enormous opportunity, creating that $4 trillion free market, effectively the largest trade market in the world if we get it right from a collaboration perspective. We have the youngest population, we have the fastest growing continent, we have an abundance of renewable energy sources, and we also have resources, energy and minerals. We just got to learn to beneficiate, to manufacture. So the Africa opportunity is certainly one that is raring to go. I was speaking to somebody earlier today who said that Asia claims it's their century, and I know Africa's claiming it's their century. So how about we share the century between Asia and Africa? And then Team South Africa being well received here, notwithstanding the fact that we are experiencing troubles, especially in the energy space, but tangible steps are being made to rectify the situation. And we need to appreciate, work together, public-private sector, and really come up with a solution, collaboration, as is the theme here at the World Economic Forum Davos 2023. Bronwyn Nielsen reporting for BizNews, the Nielsen Network, and Brand South Africa.